This afternoon, I'd like to continue our whirlwind tour of the four Brahmaviharas, these qualities of kindness and compassion and joy and equanimity. And I think it was a couple of nights ago, I spoke about the relationship between these four as being like a diamond with metta or kindness at the bottom. And when this kindness turns towards difficulty, towards pain, it flowers as compassion. On the other hand, when kindness turns towards what's going well, it flowers as mudita, or joy, often also translated as sympathetic joy, or altruistic joy, or appreciative joy, and sometimes simply as gladness. So compassion and appreciative joy sit at opposite points of the diamond as an invitation to open to the 10,000 sorrows and the 10,000 joys of life. And this afternoon we're going to be doing some mudita practice together, but first I just wanted to give just a little bit more context about this quality, its benefits and its challenges, and some of the different approaches to practicing it. And I'd like to start with a reminder of how Caroline Burrows and Paul Jones describe it from their overview that I gave the other night. They say, mudita is the love that celebrates. It's an antidote to envy. It is not competitive. If it slides into agitated excitement, upekkha, or equanimity, brings the heart back into balance. Mudita, then, is the love that celebrates, and traditionally it's a celebration of other people's happiness, their happiness, success, good fortune. And although this might seem a little counterintuitive at first, as we experiment with this practice of appreciating other people's happiness, we start to discover that it increases our own happiness as well. There's a quote from the Tibetan master Shantideva that makes this point beautifully. He says, all the joy the world contains has come through wishing happiness for others. All the misery the world contains has come from wanting pleasure for oneself. All the joy the world contains has come through wishing happiness for others. All the misery the world contains has come from wanting pleasure for oneself. So this capacity to celebrate other people's happiness brings us many benefits. When we are able to engage this quality of mudita, our sense of separateness and lack diminishes. We feel more connected to other people, kinder and more generous. These are all skillful mental states that support the development of wisdom. We can more easily understand the truth of interconnectedness and of anatta, not self, when we stop taking our problems quite so personally and recognize that all beings want to be happy, just as we do. Mudita can also act as a powerful catalyst for the awakening factor of piti, rapture or joy, that I mentioned briefly last night. So in this way, it very directly supports the development of insight. Coming back to mudita practice then, because it is a practice, a training, it can be a very useful starting point to just begin inclining the heart and mind in the direction of joy. And as I said, this word mudita is often translated as sympathetic or altruistic or appreciative joy, because traditionally the orientation is towards sharing other people's happiness or good fortune. And traditionally, when we do mudita practice, we don't include ourselves in the category of people that we offer it to. And when I first heard this, I thought it was strange, because everywhere else in the Buddha's teachings, we're encouraged to dissolve the distinctions between self and other. So I asked a Pali scholar I knew at the Barry Center for Buddhist Studies about the etymology of this word mudita and what it actually means. And he told me that it just means gladness. There's no sense within the word itself that it has to be gladness in relation to other people. And at about this same time, I found out that the traditional way of teaching mudita, and actually all of the Brahmaviharas, through the method of reciting phrases that we've been doing over the last couple of days, is actually a later development that comes after the lifetime of the Buddha. It was developed in the Visuddhimagga, which was compiled about 1,000 years after the lifetime of the Buddha. So as far as we know, the only instructions that the Buddha himself gave in relation to these Brahmavihara practices involve what I call the radiating energy method. For example, this is how the practice is described in the traditional chant on the Brahmaviharas, and I'll give you just the one for mudita, where mudita is translated as gladness, and it talks about radiating this energy to the four quarters, which means the four different compass directions of north and south and east and west. So these are the actual words. I will abide pervading one quarter with a heart imbued with gladness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth. So above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself, I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a heart imbued with gladness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. So that sounds pretty easy. I'm joking, of course, because as I said the other day in relation to metta, for many people to simply start with a heart imbued with gladness can be quite a stretch, a bit like starting the car in fourth gear. Perhaps for this reason, in the Visuddhimagga and later in the tradition, this method of reciting phrases developed, phrases that cultivate this state of joy, and then offering it in relation to different categories of people. And using words can help to encourage the heart and the mind in the right direction. And by working with categories of actual people, it can feel a bit more real. So here are a few examples of traditional phrases that we might use to cultivate mudita. I'm happy that you're happy. May your happiness and joy continue. May your happiness not leave you. May your happiness continue to grow. May your good fortune shine. So the general idea is that we wish someone's happiness and good fortune and joy to continue. And traditionally we start with someone we're close to, a good friend who's experiencing some kind of good fortune. Then we go to the benefactor, then a neutral person, a so-called enemy or difficult person, and then all beings. And I just want to acknowledge that for many people, this capacity of feeling gladness for another person's happiness and joy doesn't always come easily. And as I've been emphasizing with all of the Brahmavihara practices, often when we first try to start practicing them, what we encounter are the various blocks, the various obstacles that get in the way. And in the case of mudita, often what gets revealed is some kind of unconscious poverty mentality, a sense of lack that assumes if somebody over there has something good happening for them, then there's less available for me. I might miss out. And because we live in such an individualistic and capitalistic and competitive society, most of us do have some sense of that comparing and competing in our conditioning. So it doesn't always come easily to celebrate another person's good fortune or their good qualities. But as His Holiness the Dalai Lama has pointed out, if we are able to feel a sense of happiness for the happiness of others, then we increase our chances of happiness 7 billion to 1, because there's about 7 billion people in the world at the moment. But again, because of the mind's inherent negativity bias, many of us are just not used to tuning in to what's going well, to success and to happiness. And we might hear the word joy and feel like, well, that doesn't resonate at all. It's just not part of my emotional makeup or my repertoire. And that's one reason why I prefer the translation appreciative joy as opposed to sympathetic joy, because at least with appreciative joy, if the joy part feels a stretch, we might orient more to the appreciation side of it. And hopefully that might make it more accessible. Because even in the most challenging circumstances, if we really look, we can usually find a few things to be grateful for. When I was volunteering in the prison in Massachusetts, early on in my time there, I was offering a sequence of teachings on these four Brahma-Vihara practices. And at that stage, I didn't really know the men very well. I wasn't used to teaching in that setting. And as we were getting ready to do the mudita practice, I was starting to feel a bit uncomfortable, thinking, well, how do you invite men in prison to cultivate joy and find things to appreciate about? And I wondered if it might even be a little bit sort of cruel to ask them to find things in their lives to be grateful for. But to my surprise, they immediately got it. And that session on mudita was very lively. It was almost like the men were competing with each other to find more and more things that they appreciated. So one guy talked about feeling grateful every morning when he put on his socks, because he'd been living on the street for many years, and on the street he didn't have socks. And he said, I've offended against society, and every day I'm given a clean pair of socks. Another guy talked about how much joy he felt when every morning a squirrel would come and sit on his windowsill and he would feed it little bits of food that he'd saved from the chow hall. And another guy talked about the experience of being assigned to a new bunk. They were in dorms of 52 men, mostly bunks, and he was reassigned to a top bunk. And he said at first he thought, well, that's a real drag, having to climb up there every night. But he said the first night he did it, when he got up there, he realized that the top half of the window didn't have bars on it, so he could lie in his bed and look at the stars and forget that he was in prison. And he said when he looked through a window without bars, he felt this moment of freedom and real gratitude. So hopefully, if those guys can find things to appreciate, then we also might find things that we can appreciate in our own lives and feel a sense of gratitude for. Because when we can connect to our own good fortune, it's much easier to feel happiness for the happiness of others. So today we will be working with phrases again, and I'll be sharing a set of phrases that I use in my own practice. And I like to include just a reminder of why we're cultivating this appreciative joy, that it's not just about grooving on the joy for its own sake, but it's as a support for freedom. So the phrases I'll be using are, I'm happy for your happiness. I take joy in your good fortune. May your joy continue. May it grow. May it lead to ever-increasing ease and freedom. So this afternoon we'll be offering those phrases to someone we're close to, a good friend whose life is currently going well, who's experiencing some success or happiness. And unlike with the compassion practice, this time I encourage you to see if you can find someone who's really happy, even close to 10 on this mythical scale. So you don't need to hold back here. And of course, everyone's life is a mix of happiness and challenges. Nobody's going to be at a 10 and stay there consistently in every aspect of their lives. But for the purposes of this practice, we're trying to stay connected just to what's going well and let anything other than that just sort of be in the background for now. So seeing if you can find a good friend or someone you're close to who's currently enjoying a lot of happiness and good fortune, and then we'll begin to offer them these phrases. Okay.